We've been taking turns talking about our five things that we need to most work on. Brother Purgos went first. He did his number one. I'm going to go. I'm a volunteer today. So I think my greatest weakness is patience, or let's say impatience. I guess you would put the opposite side of it. So I was hoping that my brothers could give me and anybody listening some insights on how do we foster this wonderful Galatians 5 gift, patience, long-suffering. How do we do that? What can we do? What can I do to foster that in my life if I think it's like one of my weakest things?
Well, I have a scripture that helps me with that.
Okay.
Well, Hebrews 12, 1 to 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So I guess what the couple of things that I take out of that is, first, I don't think you have a problem with the endurance patience part. Not that I've seen. If it's patience and kind of maybe, I don't know what it is, but maybe getting in your flesh when things are frustrating or something like that. It helps me to remember this one verse, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. That's got to be frustrating. All of the contradictions and nothing makes sense and all of that. And you remember and you look to the example of who you have to follow, and that he never really got impatient. He got righteously angry, and he was stern and bold, rebuking sin, but he never really got impatient in the sense that we might in our flesh. And that just helps me keep the proper perspective, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good one. Thank you. Brother Kuo, how about you? What can you offer on trying to build your patience, grow your patience?
I would say keep your eyes on the Lord, because 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if we claim to be children of God, we should always be looking to him as an example.
Amen.
He's incredibly long-suffering with mankind and all of our sin, all of our mistakes.
Never killed me and all my sin.
Exactly. And we just have to keep that in mind. Like, when we want to get really angry with someone, when someone's not coming around as fast as we want, it's like, the Lord hasn't killed them yet.
Yeah.
He's long-suffering toward them.
Yeah.
We should be the same way, that kind of a thing.
So you're kind of saying, goes along with the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the merciful.
Right.
So exactly. Doesn't mercy help build patience? You think? What do you think of that? Does mercy help build patience? So you have mercy on a situation or people, not, hey, Lord, should we call fire down from heaven and destroy them? But you have mercy because you want mercy. As you be judged, as you judge, you'll be judged. So if you get mercy, we should give mercy. It makes me think of that parable about the guy that was owed money. Or no, he owed money and he got his debt forgiven. And then he goes out and ready to whoop up on a guy that owed him a lot less. And his master found out and he's like, you wicked servant, I forgave you and you can't forgive someone else. What an example. So I think patience kind of goes along that same line. God would say to me, if I'm impatient, I've given you so much patience. How dare you not give someone else patience, you hypocrite? Does that make sense, brothers?
Yeah, well, sorry, Brother Purgos, you go.
You're saying do unto others, basically, between you and God and you and your brother?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good concept, isn't it?
Yeah, and another one would be love, because love is patient and kind.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient and kind. So if we have love in all things, like even biblical love, like we're not long suffering with sin, but Love is patient. Love does bear with people.
That's true. What say you, Brother Purgos? Any thoughts on building patience in the life of a Christ follower?
Patience isn't just putting up with it. It's putting up with it cheerfully and realizing that you're under the authority of God. So if you're meek, you realize that God is introducing this trial. And if you're grumbling, you're grumbling against God because he allows all things.
Yeah.
So you're not grumbling against your brother. You're grumbling against God and what he's allowing to come into your life.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's an eye opener right there. That's an eye opener right there. And any other, I got an overriding thought that I was going to lay out at the end. Well, maybe I'll do it right here. And then you guys can kind of feed off of this. So here's what I found about patience. Because in ministry, in the years I've been doing this, I've had to deal with all different kinds of situations. And here's what I've found is that a lot of times we can try our own patience and it's sinful how we do it. And let me explain. So let's say you have a brother, and I'm not talking to any of my brothers here, because if any of my brothers here have an issue, I go to them and I talk to them about it. I'm talking about people that have been in my life in the past, or seekers or whatever. If you have someone in your life that is very, very trying to you, because they either keep sinning and they won't stop, or they're confusing, they bring confusion in, or they are maybe causing trouble, then they say, I didn't mean to cause trouble. Then they cause trouble. I didn't mean to cause trouble. And you can't tell, wait a minute, are they really that deaf, as you say, undiscerning? Or, wait a minute, is this a worker? Then they bounce back and they do good things. Here's what I found. We can try our own patience to the point where we break it. And it's not because maybe a lot of times we don't have patience, but we take our patience to where it shouldn't go biblically. Let me give you an example. So the Bible tells us to not let people that are sinful and unbiblical be near the body or near us, near a house too often. I was going to read, Paul says, 1 Timothy 5:22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep yourself pure. So while everything you guys said about patience is true, and it's all good to build it, and we all should keep building it and growing in it. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. I find that one of my issues is allowing people that are leaven too close, too long, working with them too long, tries my patience too long to where it now becomes I'm thinking I need to be more patient with them. But what I really need to do is obey God and put them where they need to be, whatever bucket that is. When I say buckets, like you're my brothers, you're in the body. Then there's people that are seekers. They're in that bucket. Then there's mockers. They're in that bucket. There's people you don't know if they're seekers or in the body, want to be in a body yet. They're in that bucket. Put the people in the proper bucket and pray for them. And guess what? You no longer every day, every minute being tried your patience with them. You put them where they need to be. And then you say, here's what you need to do, whatever. Well, we'll give you the instance of the recent man. If I don't hear from him, what did I tell you, brothers, I was going to do? I'm not going to sit and try my patience over and over with a man who we don't know if serious about things of God. Does that sound like wisdom to do that? No. I'm going to talk to him and say, the website's there. If you don't want to step up, if you don't want daily accountability, if you don't want one another fellowship and love and study, go check out the website. And let us know when you're serious. So I kind of my point is we got to build our patience. We got to have patience. But there is a time to end patience. And I think one of my big problems is sometimes I walk beyond where I should end it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, would that be a situation of what we just talked about where you would remove the temptation and overcome at the same time?
Yep. Yeah, so you remove that person and you go, wow, I love this person. Man, I want to sweep this young person up. I want to help them to things of God. Man, come on, we'll take you and we'll help you. Let's go, let's follow Christ. And it's like they're going, nah, I don't think so. I don't know. I'm figuring it out. And you've tried. And it's like, the Bible doesn't tell me to keep trying. There's a time for patience to stop, and then I just pray for them and continue my life and be a witness. So yeah, remove it from you. So that would be, in the years I've been doing ministry, if you're going to deal with a lot of people, I would tell you, young men, definitely work your patience so you have patience. We need it. But really, the patience in the Bible is really for saints that are seeking, long-suffering for those that are trying through their issues. They have the fruit of trying and trying and repenting and trying and trying and trying. We don't give patience for people that are trampling God's truth. We don't give patience for people that are on the borderline of mockers. We don't give patience for the people of the world. We put them outside of our world, our Christian life in that sense, and pray for them. And the patience is applied to the brotherhood for the most part. Because when you read about Galatians 5, it's talking about the brotherhood. That's who we're patient with. Now, I'll be patient with seekers. I get it. They're not in the brotherhood yet. But some seeker comes around 15 times and they're never serious about things of God, it's time to say, no more. Now you're just wasting time. You're trampling the truth. The website is there. That's why I put it there. So that's kind of what I wanted to say was I've learned to grow patience, and then I've learned when to put people out so I don't have to focus patience on them anymore. Yeah, hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because guess what? Let me say this real quick. So if I use, you know how many people I deal with? A lot that you guys don't even know about. There's no point in telling you about everybody. If I use all my patience up on them, they're outside the body. They're not serious seekers. They don't even have the fruit of being truly born again. They have lip service. If I use all my patience up on these, how am I going to have patience for my brothers? I'm going to be all patient out. I'm going to use, that's like if I use all my time up on them. Oh, sorry, brothers. I have no time for you guys. I'm out there playing games with all these people that are playing games. So I've gotten a lot of my resources, my time, my patience, money. Yeah, I can't spend money to people that trample the things of God. I'm going to save my resources and use it for God's people and for good, godly causes. So be wise about how you spend the resources God's given you, whether it's time, money, love, patience. That's kind of what I would say.
It is good. So now, I guess on the flip side of that, when we do not practice holding ourselves in check and having patience, we would probably be of those who kind of tend to get angrier easily. So there's a bunch of scripture verse that tell us, like, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. And then all the way down to like James 1, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So I guess there's also a balance in there between we do not get impatient and in our flesh, that like we should not do that, but we also don't go long suffering and bearing long with sin. And even if we do deal with sin, we deal with it firmly and boldly, but not with wrath. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. And I don't think you heard any anger in what dealing with these people. And to me, that's where, ready? Don't give yourself occasion to that. Ready? So here you go. Ready? We just had to put someone out of the body that was united to us because of confusion. They were bringing in nothing but confusion. And we had patience after patience after patience over a long time. And they had to be put out because they refused to stop the confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33, our God is not the author of this confusion. So here's what I would say to you is, if I allow that person to stay close to me and my wife or in the body, I'm going to give occasion for that confusion to maybe turn to frustration, maybe turn to anger, maybe confound me. Nope, I'm going to do what's biblical and say, I've used all the patience here I need to. I'm going to put that leaven out. Guess what? Now there's no cause for any type of ever being tempted to be angry or impatient with them because they've been biblically dealt with. So you're absolutely right. Patience and anger should be very far apart. Take the biblical steps in between. Righteous anger can come way down the road if it's for a good cause, but patience and anger should not be very close together. It should be patience. The Bible tells me to act and put them out. And then the anger never comes because of that. So yeah, we shouldn't, those two should never touch very closely. I agree with that. Unless you have righteous anger, you're patient with a mocker out in the street for a little bit, and then they're dragging Christ's truth all over and trampling his blood. Then righteous anger comes out and you go, oh no, we want to let you do that. You rebuke them and you turn and you walk away. But I'm talking more so about like people that are either in the body or close to being in the body or claiming Christ and they're not total mockers. If we deal with them biblically, patiently, and then deal with them putting them out, there's a time for the patience to end. And there's a time for it to stop. And do that, I think we purge the leaven out, then we don't have to worry about the anger coming in or ever being stumbled by that, the frustration. Because for me, you know how it goes? It goes here, patience, and then it goes to frustration, and then it goes to confusion. And then anger can start coming. So it's not like quick anger for me. It's like patience. That's what I've learned. Now I'm frustrated with this person because they say one thing, they do another. No, now they're confusing. They're not even keeping God's word and they say they want to. And now it's like, wait a minute. If I let them go too far, it's like you're pulling around God's people. You're using God's people here. And then it can start getting close to anger and hopefully it's righteous anger, not fleshly anger. But pluck them out before that and you don't have that problem. Does that make sense, Brother Purgos?
Yes, that also deals with our overcoming. At some point, you have to restrain yourself, rely on the Spirit, and at some point, you have to remove the obstacle from your life. My son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. So there is a point where you have to say, you are too double-minded, you have to go come back when you have this sort of resolved, so that way you don't use all of your resources on them.
Yeah, because what does leaven do in the body? What does it do?
Leaven's the whole lump.
Yeah.
It spreads, it infects everything.
And does it, can it not infect by eating up patience, causing frustration, causing confusion, and then causing flesh and anger to come in, when if none of those things would have happened, none of that would be even given an occasion to happen, right?
Yeah, here's another.
Go ahead, Brother Zealous.
If we are meek and poor in spirit, will we not also be very patient?
Oh, yeah, the two go together. But there is a time to end that.
I understand that. I guess what I'm looking at is the flip side of patience, because when we, like, for example, if somebody struggles with patience, then it helps to remember all of the steps that lead up to losing your patience.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So one good step that you've shown is basically you remove, if possible, the aggravating factor. Another thing is to remember to be poor in spirit and meek, and the patience that God has with us to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. All of those factors, if we keep them in mind, will help strengthen our patience and keep us in the proper mindset, looking and imitating the example of Christ and Paul. All of those things, if we look to that, that will help us overcome patience. Like, we flee the situation that would tempt us, and we remove those people who would basically try our patience, and then to overcome it within ourselves, we would do all of those things. That's kind of the message that I would sum this up as. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I would say to people too, is like, everybody thinks patience has no end. Like, it's kind of like the antithesis, right? Patience, when it ends, oh, you're no longer patient. They think it just never ends. That's not true. I like what Paul said to the Jews. Remember? I use it all the time. He said, I wash my hands. I did not deny giving you the whole counsel. Paul was done. His patience for them was done. He tried and tried and tried, and he disputed with them. He went on to the Gentiles. Jesus' patience ended with the Pharisees. Go read Matthew 23. His patience ended when the men were selling the things of God in the temple, and he made a whip and drove them, the men, and the animals out with the whip and turned the tables over. So my point about patience is, I know it seems strange, right? It's like, oh, you should always have patience no matter what. It's like, no, there's a time for patience to end. And I was just commenting, I think that's what I've learned is if you go too long with patience in the wrong cases, it leads to sin. There's a time to have wisdom and discernment to cut it off. And it's good for that person to cut it off and say, you don't get any more patience. You don't get any more of God's word from us. You don't get any more of God's time, God's resources. You've trampled it. And if you cut that off, now your patience never goes into phases that it shouldn't go into. Because the word of God tells us to deal with people accordingly.
Amen.
It's the same thing with, like, with parenting, right? You have a little child, you're patient. You may warn them. There's a time when the patience stops and the rod of correction comes out. It doesn't mean you're not a patient person. It just means you've practiced patience to its end and it hasn't done its job. Now you got to take the next course. And it's no different than in the body. When patient with long-suffering with brothers and sisters struggling in sin, when they won't stop, when they won't keep struggling against their sin, now the patience has to stop. And we have to bring out correction, which may be one-on-one rebuke, couple brothers rebuke, whole body rebuke, put them out. It doesn't mean we don't have patience. It just means it's run its course and it's no longer godly to continue in that patience. So that would be my main point, was what I've learned is that patience has an end. Walk in godly patience, but know when it has an end, and it'll keep you a more disciplined, patient person when you know how to end it. Kind of like your checkbook. If you're not disciplined with your money and you give everything away to the homeless guy in the corner that says, help, and you write him all your money out, you're out of money. You have not used God's resources with wisdom. Patience is like that. If you don't use it with wisdom, you'll run out of it and you'll end up in sin. So make sure each case gets the right amount of patience is what I would say.
Yeah, well, God models that for us because He's very patient and long-suffering, but even the Lord said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten.
Amen. Amen. So, yeah. So it's good stuff. We all have to walk in it. We all have to keep growing it. We all have to keep monitoring it. And let's not abuse patience. Because we can abuse any gift of God, can't we? Grace, forgiveness, love, all of them can be abused, can't they?
Yeah.
Let's never think that we are abusers of the gifts of God and the fruits of that God does in us. Let us handle them all with great care, good stewards of all of them. Anything else on patience in the life of a believer? Brother Kuo, any other thoughts?
Just a few verses from 2 Timothy 2:22-26. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Yep.
But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So
I love that. Look what you see. The patience is for the people try to recover, and they come to repentance. You see it. It's all about people that are coming to the truth and trying. We have the patience. The people that trample God's truth, they get put out. Exactly. Could I tell you, gentlemen, your brothers, a quick story? I think this might be helpful. I just thought of it. Got an email from somebody, has a marriage situation. And a spouse that is troublesome, claims to be a believer, and a spouse that is troublesome. It's tearing this person's life apart, and they're really trying to be a holy, set apart saint. They've come to the realization, God gave me his word, so I had the word to give him, and I warned this person a long time ago, don't keep doing this with this person, it's not going to help. And it's a rebellious partner that claims Christ but doesn't want to obey God. Well, they kept giving truth, giving truth, giving truth. Giving truth, trample, 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 anger, trample, trample, anger. They finally have come to a realization that I'm throwing my pearls and I'm sinning against God and I can't do this anymore. I can't. And they've kept thinking, I got to have patience unending with this person. And they came to a realization after fasting and prayer and study, and hopefully they said, some of the things I told them, showed them from God's word. They said, I'm stopping doing that. I'm going to live my own life for Christ. I'm no longer going to try to feed someone that's not hungry. And they said, I've been set free. They said, the weight is taken off of me. And now I can live for Christ. And I don't feel like I'm dragging or pulling, or I got to win this person to serve God. God never told this person that. So that's a good example of patience, patience, patience. It came to its end. It's pulled back. There was a rebuke given and a warning. Now this person is using his patience in his own life with other people and marching forth in Christ. What would happen? Brother Koo's thinking of something. I can see him here. What would happen if this person never pulled that patience back? He's going to end up stumbled and wasting all his energy on this person that might take him down the wrong path.
Yeah, I kind of think of it like, do we wait for seeds thrown on the concrete to spring up and start growing something? Or do we wait for seeds thrown on fertile ground to start growing up? And when you see something sprouting, you give it more patience,
Amen.
More patience, more Amen. Patience.
Yeah.
But if you throw it on the concrete and you're just sitting there waiting for something to happen, it's not going to happen.
Amen. So, Amen. Yeah. So that's just kind of the angle I want to take. We got to grow our patience. We got to have it. And then sometimes in my life, I think I've taken it too far and it's caused great frustration. And this person, we really hit it off because I've had that common thing happen where you so love people and you so want them to come, but it's like you can give too much and there's a time to say done. And then direct your energy, your patience, your spiritual energy, your focus somewhere else. And then Jesus said it well, let the blind lead the blind. So that may be the best thing for me, is to make sure that I keep working on my patience and never pour it out to the wrong people. How about that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 5:16. I'll let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the street. Or another translation says, why should your springs flow in the streets, your streams of water in the public square? So this is talking more about harlotry, but
yeah,
it's a dispersion of resources into locations they should not go.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So with patience, we must use great wisdom.
Amen. And
anything else on patience, brothers? You've been very patient with me. Thank you.
That was all I had. Well, maybe unless you want to toss in there the meaning that a lot of times when the scriptures talk about patience, it actually means endurance. Patience is just the way it's translated.
Yep. Yeah. Well, here we didn't do it. Let's do it real quick. Let's go to Galatians 5, and I believe
I think there's pretty much every single time in the entire New Testament you see patience. It means cheerful or hopeful endurance.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean like there is this sense of the patience that we were talking about, but pretty much all of the time the patience the scriptures tells us to have is endurance.
Yeah, Galatians 5, that word is long-suffering, which is translated patience a long time with many people, is forbearance, fortitude, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance, slowness in avenging wrongs. So it does apply to what we were talking about, having patience and hope for someone that needs to come along. But again, there is a time for that to end. And then we have to move on and endure in other areas because we can't. Ready? I love this. Paul says, be at peace with all men, if possible. Brother Kuo, do we know men we can't be at peace with?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so it's be at peace with all men. So we're commanded to do that, but it's not always possible. And so we have to limit the people that we can't live in peace with. We don't have them in our life. We move on from them. If they're believers, we put them out because if they don't want to live in peace, there's sin there. So, yeah, but good point. It is endurance, no doubt about it. Endurance, perseverance. So hopefully, as a brotherhood, we have that for each other. Patience, endurance, long-suffering is a good word. But never, ever in sin. Remember that. People try to tell you, oh, you need to be more long-suffering with your brother while he lives in his sin. Not one Bible verse tells you anywhere to long-suffer in sin for yourself, your body, your house, your brethren, not one. It's never long-suffering in sin. It's long-suffering helping people out of their sin. They're trying, helping them out of situations, and not giving up on them when they're still looking to Christ and trying. I don't know about you brothers. I never give up on anybody. Cause to me, while there's breath and if they haven't been like totally turned over, I have hope for everybody. Cause there's a lot of people that may come at the end of their life. Who knows? I don't know. So I always have hope, but I can't sit there and look at that hope. I have to move on and focus my energy on people that are striving for the kingdom.
Yeah.
So don't let these people that come and go draw down your spiritual battery, like I say. Send them off and pray for them and know there's hope for them if they ever turn. And then focus our energies on Christ, the brother, and the next person that's going to come through the door that might give some lip service and say they want to have fellowship. And let's see if they bring the fruit.
Amen.
Isn't that patience? Brother Purgos and I were talking about this. Him and I have a long history of people coming and going, coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. And we've had to have patience to not become embittered, to not just be jaded and go, yeah, another one that's going to come and go. We treat every person at their testimony until they lie or don't show the fruit. And so isn't that part of patience too, is just making sure that God's always coming through with the gifts in us. We allow God to come through with the gifts in us so we don't become jaded and impatient because of circumstances.
Yeah, amen.
His mercies are new every morning. So every morning, every person you meet, when you witness, give them that chance. Give them your best. Give them the gospel and then let it play out for God's glory.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right, brothers. I guess we'll leave it right there about patience. Thanks for your time. Another edifying audio that'll be in the Ecclesia gathering area. May God be glorified in us as we all strive in patience and endurance.
Amen.
Amen.